Sermon title today is, What Do You Believe? What is it that you believe? Everyone has a belief system. In other words, I believe this, but I do not believe that. What you personally believe is your belief system. And everybody has a different belief system. We see it in CE. We see it in the church. One person may believe this. One person might not believe that. One person, I might believe this far, but I'm not going to believe up here. We talked about everybody being on their own growth plane, that we're here. Some people are here. Some people are on up here. It depends on the different ones. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? By the Word of God. So as we build the faith in our church and we build the faith in our congregation, we want that faith to grow in every believer. What you believe directly affects what you can receive from God. I'll say that again. What you believe directly affects what you can receive from God. If you don't believe it, you will not receive it. Remember faith's definition, acting upon God's word. In other words, acting upon what you believe to be true. Acting upon what you believe to be true. Biblical faith is acting upon the word of God. If you don't believe it, you will not act upon it in belief, and you will not receive it. Do you believe today that God still is saving people? Do you believe today that God is still healing people? Do you believe today that God is still delivering people? And do you believe today that God is still baptizing people in the Holy Spirit? Through prayer this week, the Lord said to me, Leo, I cannot heal those that do not believe. Maybe you're like that doctor that told me, well, I believe prayer works. I believe that healing works. It's a placebo effect. And do you really believe that Pastor Leo is in the placebo business? Because I am not. I am not in the placebo business. Does a farmer spend thousands of dollars to put a crop in just because it makes them feel good? Or does he do it or she do it believing there will be a return on their investment? Well, let me ask you, do you believe the Word of God? Then invest yourself in it. And you need to invest yourself in the Word of God. Now turn with me to Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. Proverbs 30 and verse 5. Proverbs 30 and verse 5. We're going to read this shortly, and then we're going to go back into Psalms. So Proverbs 30 and verse 5. It says this. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. But what does it say? The very first five or six words, every word of God is pure. Now turn back with me to Psalms. Go back to Psalms, one book back, and go to Psalms chapter 12 and verse 6. Psalms 12 and verse 6. In Psalms chapter 12, in verse 6, it says, the words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. You shall keep them, O Lord. You shall preserve them from this generation forward. So he says, the words of the Lord are pure words. Now go to Psalms 18 and verse 30. Psalms 18 and verse 30, and it says this. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. Now go to Psalms 19. Psalms 19 and verse 8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. In Mark chapter 13, verse 31, Jesus himself says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away. So what does your belief system tell you? Do you believe the word of God in its entirety? Do you believe just parts of God's word? And I get the feeling that half the preachers in America don't believe it is God's word anymore, and the other half only believe parts of the Bible. They're not believing the whole Bible. When you leave this place today, let there be no doubt in your mind, Pastor Leo believes the Word of God, he preaches it, he teaches it, he proclaims it to be true. Saints, we need to stand on the Word of God in its entirety. You can't receive it unless you believe it. Look at creation. How many Christians today in this world that we live in today don't believe in creation? As it is documented in the Word. Do you believe in creation today as it is documented in the Word? And people will say, well, I really don't believe all of the Old Testament. I'm more of a New Testament believer. So let's turn to the New Testament. Turn with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And who is the Word of God? Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God. Verse 2, He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Jesus was there at the time of creation. In verse 3 again, all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. Through Him, all things were created. The New Testament writers brought support to creation as it was documented. God spoke it and it happened. God said it and it was done. Verse 1 says what? In the beginning. What does Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 say? It says in the beginning. And then it says God created. Through the Holy Trinity, the world was created. If you only believe parts of the Bible, you don't believe none of it. You hear that? If you only believe in parts of the Bible, then you don't believe none of it. And if you believe it, you have to believe all of it. You just can't believe part of it. Well, Lord, I'm going to leave this part out because I just don't know whether I can accept that or not. We accept it by faith, not by understanding, not by feeling, not by knowing, but by faith do we receive it. If you turn with me real quickly to Hebrews chapter 11. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of not things seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. By faith we understand. Listen. The New Testament writers supported the work that was done in the book of Genesis in creation. It supports creation. Listen to the words. Verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. What you believe is directly connected to what you will receive. Now, are you ready for the message? You probably think, well, haven't you been preaching? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. We're going to read 5 through 13. So Matthew 8, verse 5. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my house, my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I am also a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. What did the centurion say? All you got to do is say it. I know he will be healed. All you have to do is say it. You don't have to come underneath my roof. All you have to do is say the word, and I know that my servant will be healed. He goes on in verse 11, I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into utter darkness. They will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done to you, or for you, and the servant was healed that same hour. Now, don't let verse 11 and 12 confuse you. So let's speak to it just for a moment. In verse 11 and 12, it's speaking about the Gentiles that would come to the Lord Jesus Christ and the Jewish people that would reject the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus is speaking about there. But the focus here today is a centurion. And the centurion was a Gentile who had great faith. In verse 8, he says, if you speak it, it will be done. Let's look at another example. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. Verse 20, Matthew 9, verse 20. And suddenly a woman who had flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. Listen what she said to herself. If only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that hour. If I may touch his garment, I will be healed. In both examples, they acted upon their faith, believing that the need would be met. Believing that the need would be met. How many people who are prayed for are only halfway believers? How many people come up that we're going to lay hands on and anoint with oil only believe part of the way that God can heal them, and part of the way doesn't get you a home run? You have to believe completely and totally that you're submitted to the Word of God, and the Word of God says, by His stripes I am healed, and by the cross of Calvary that Jesus won the victory, and I will be healed today because the Word says it. The Word says it. What does it say in the book of James? Call for the elders of the church. Anybody that's sick, they will anoint them with oil and they will be healed. It didn't say if they might feel better. Or if they do this or they do that. It says they will be healed. We believe in the Word of God. We are faith people that believe in the truth of God's Word. And because we believe in the truth of God's Word, we as the saints of God, we act upon it. We act upon it. So how many people who are prayed for only halfway believe that something might happen? Partway believe. Face the truth. When you do that, you don't believe. When you do that, you don't believe. If you only believe it, if you feel it when you walk away that you think that it's going to happen to you, if you only believe that little bit, it's not getting you there. What did the Lord speak to me? I cannot heal those that do not believe. Did the centurion doubt? He had no doubt in his mind. God, Jesus, you speak it and it will be done. Did the woman with the sickness doubt? They did not doubt. They knew. Another mistake we make is, I don't feel it. It must not have happened. I don't feel it. It must not have happened. Oh, well, I'll just go and I'll slug through life again and I'll come back up and maybe they'll pray for me again. How many preachers are out there today that are preaching that you can be healed by the mighty hand of God? There is not very many of them. How many churches do you go to today that pray and don't even believe that God is going to answer that prayer? There's a lot of them. If we are going to do the work of God, then we need to believe in the works of God. We need to believe that God is a doer of what He says, and this is what He says. There is nothing that you can say in this Bible that will convince me that God is still not on the throne, that Jesus is not at the right hand of the Father, and the work of Jesus is being done through the power of the Holy Spirit today. Jesus came to save, to heal, to deliver, to set free, to baptize in the Holy Spirit, and He's still doing it today through the gifts of the Holy Spirit and by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He's doing that today. If you don't believe it, you're only believing part of the Bible and you're not believing all the Bible. Amen. God wants these things in your life. He wants you to have that authority. The first thing that happened in the book of Acts is on the day of Pentecost when they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What was the first thing that happened? Oh, they're just drunk. They're just drunk. Peter says they are not drunk. This is prophecy fulfillment by the prophet Joel. that in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon the flesh. Ever since that time, Satan has tried to use it to discourage people from receiving something. Satan uses it even to mimic it. He can't create it. He can't do anything. Satan can't create anything. He's never created in his life. He never will be create anything in his life. He mimics that he's like God. He mimics that he's like Jesus. He will even fake his death and resurrection. The Antichrist will. All these things are just mimicking God because he wants to exalt himself to be like God, and he cannot do it. There's only one true God. That's the one you're serving today. And we praise him forevermore. Another mistake we make is, I don't feel it must not have happened. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Got to get back on track. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. We read it earlier. We'll read it again. Here's that talking about creation thing again. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for it by the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made, or things which are visible. Hebrews 1, when you don't see it or don't feel it, immediately doesn't mean it didn't happen. The Bible is a faith action word book. Say it again. The Bible is a faith action book, not a see and feeling book. Your faith is not by your sight, and it's not by what you feel. You get that? The Word of God is what you're acting upon it, whether you see it or whether you don't, whether you feel it or whether you don't. When I pray for you today, this should be your response. I can be healed. I will be healed. I am healed. That should be our response. I can be healed. How can I be healed? Because the Word of God says I can be healed. I will be healed because I believe that the Word of God is for me today. And I am healed. Is that faith statement that you're making out of your body, whether you feel it or whether you don't feel it. Lord Jesus, I have stood on your word. I have proclaimed your word. I am doing exactly what the word says, and I believe that what you have for me is mine. And I'm going to receive it today in the name of the Lord Jesus. I can, I will, I am. I can, I am, I will, I am healed in the name of Jesus. That means when you walk out this door and you still have that pain, you're saying as you go out that door, I am healed. I am healed. I am standing on the word of God. I'm not backing down, God. I'm going to stand on your word by your stripes, by the stripes of Jesus. I am healed. I'm going to proclaim it. Tomorrow morning when I get up out of bed and I'm still got aches and I still got pain, I'm still going to say, I am healed by the blood of the Lamb. I am healed. How many people have you prayed for? Say, well, you know, I left here, I didn't feel very good. I still didn't feel very good. I didn't feel very good when I got home. But the next day, all of a sudden, I started feeling better. Why did it start feeling better? Because Leo's got all this tremendous power. I don't have any tremendous power. Everyone in this room is a healer. Everyone in this room is a healer. You know why you're a healer? Because of the Great Commission. The Lord has placed that in your hands by signs and wonders. And our church needs signs and wonders. The new church needs signs and wonders. We want people talking about that. They're talking about it in the community now. But listen to them when God starts falling in that place as never before. And people are slain in the Spirit. People are baptized in the Holy Spirit. People are healed by the power of God. There's going to be a lot of talk, not only in Knoxville, but in Marion County. The church needs that today, as never before. If we're going to turn this world of wickedness around, it's only by the power of God that it's going to be done. And we're not going to quit preaching it. We're not going to quit teaching it. And we're not going to quit proclaiming it. And I love you as much as I could ever love you. But we can't seem to get through this, that many times people will think, well, this bad thing, God must have brought it on me. Remember in the Garden of Eden, I've said this before, and I'm going to keep saying it till we get through it. In the Garden of Eden, everybody was supposed to live for eternity. eternity. No one was ever supposed to die. Why did they die? Because of sin. Sin entered the world. Why did we have sickness? Because of sin. There was no sickness in the world. When you get to heaven, do you think there's going to be sickness in heaven? There's no more sorrow, no more heartache, no more pain, no more disease. Nothing in heaven because it's perfect. That's what he wanted in the Garden of Eden, and we weren't ever supposed to leave it. And what did the second Adam do? And the second Adam was Jesus, and he came to fulfill what the first could not. Our God, say this with me, our God is a good God. Our God is a good God. My God wants the best for me. My God wants me to be healed. My God wants me to be delivered. Now say amen. And what does amen mean? It means it's done. It's over. Now, Father, we just rejoice in this day that you have given us to come out, to praise, to lift up the name of Jesus. And Father, it gives us another opportunity to proclaim that you are our God and we stand on your word. Be with us as we go our separate ways, and may your hand be upon each and every one of our lives. And I pray for my family today. These people belong to me, Father. And I just pray that in the name of Jesus, you would pour open the windows of heaven and you would pour out your blessings upon each and every one of their lives. And we ask this all today. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen.